News, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And like I said, again, a wonderful Friday to each and every one of you. And thank you for listening to Guardian Radio and to Inside the Inner City, because this show reflects on the everyday life of the Bahamians. And from time to time, we talk about political, we talk about the church, we talk about the prison, we talk about solutions. And we talk about crime and how it gets to build up to being that particular crime. And we are going to have that discussion today also. We want to talk about, you know, tree hell after cop shot in the face. We might mention police questioning, ex-MP. And then we'll just talk about a little quickly about the less recent murder, the double murder that just recently happened. Not in any detail, but just what everyone is talking about. But I want to start off the show today to show you that we have sitting MPs who are doing redevelopment plan that is very beneficial to their community. And they have the option of doing that because where they are in Cat Island and where Chester Cooper are, the Deputy Prime Minister, the Prime Minister of Commonwealth of the Bahamas, I'm saying this particular, because they understand that as they get major investments for their constituency and their constituents and their community that they represent, they want to provide an opportunity where they could be business owners and a lot of jobs and a lot of entertainment. You know, Nassau is boring. And this has been publicized by the cruise ship industry in the country. And all this is tying into my topic today. And if you listen to what is going on in Cat Island, some of the things, let me just say it before I let you play Chester Cooper, I'm just going to do some of the stuff that the current Prime Minister, the Honorable Brave Davis, is doing in Cat Island. You know, he's the MP of Cat Island. And here in Cat Island, he has opened a passport office. A new airport is being built. New runways are being repaired. New roads, a new community park equipped for basketball and volleyball is in the works. And there's a lot more to do. So they understand these things because in order to reduce crime, you have to have unemployment to its lowest. You have to have more people employed and more business-minded people who own businesses when major investments are being made on behalf of the country, but also the communities they are representing. The reason why I'm saying all that is because IMPs and Nassau are doing a tremendous job of sitting in Parliament talking about legislation. Whilst the Prime Minister and Deputy Prime Minister are doing an outstanding job of bringing investments, bringing opportunities, bringing education, you know. They're bringing Bitcoin, they're bringing cash-free, they're also bringing cash, they're bringing major investors. This will reduce the stress of crime and the attempt of thinking about doing crime, because many people are going to be overpaid in Cat Island and the community that Chester Cooper represents. And they understand this. But for us who in inner-city communities, our members of Parliament don't have a clue on how to clear down a certain lot and say, you know what, we're going to build this a mini mall and we're going to allow this to be a safe zone. And we're going to start some small businesses where people who go through training, when they're finished, they can apply and we'll give them a stall here and they can use this as their business venture. And a small fee would be required, you know, in a small structured neighborhood, and make it a safe zone, you know. Because on the family island, you can do it because there's no congested homes. So us in Nassau, we have to think that way. For me, like the old city market, for prime example, if anyone look at the urban design lab that was done in 2013, you see I made a suggestion for the old city market that is situated where the world-renowned champs, one family who won the two Junkanoo Parade practices. But for many years, that was the old city market. And I said that if we could turn that into a scrum market with about 20 vendors, and Junkanoo practice still can be going on late in the night, but there also could be stalls set up outside, and that could be a scrum market, and that could be the base for the tourists to come over the hill and settle there and then make entry to the neighboring community, to like to my restaurant, to the small stalls that are situated in that safe zone that we will create, you know. And they're not thinking like that, but Chester Cooper and Brave Davis is doing that. And I'm going to show you all this ties into what needs to happen in order for us to move forward with the leadership of the country. So Mr. Ali, could you play the flick for me, please? This is Chester Cooper and the development that's happening in his community.
Thank you, Administrator. Good afternoon, everybody. Let me take this opportunity to welcome you to Forbes Hill. We have, in one clean swoop, quadrupled the population of Forbes Hill this afternoon. And I thank you for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, Exumians, friends, families, colleagues, I want to share with you a few brief remarks. Today I might be a little longer than I usually am, simply because for me today this is very personal. I recognize, of course, Prime Minister Davis, my many cabinet and parliamentary colleagues, and I thank you for being here. Not only have we quadrupled the population, I believe today we've set another record. This is perhaps the first Prime Minister to spend more than 5 minutes in Forbes Hill. The Prime Minister, you have that distinction this afternoon. But this is a day of great pride for me. Yet at the same time, I am humbled, I'm touched, and I recognize in so many ways that I am blessed and highly favored. This Forbes Hill Cultural Village is for the people of Forbes Hill, the Ferry, and Hariki, who have meant so much to me and so much to Exuma. This is for all Exumians, near and far, And for me, as I've said, this is personal. Today is what I call a full circle moment. This is the community where I was born and raised. And what you see here today is what we have made of the school where I was taught. Upstairs, up the hill, we have converted to an art gallery today, but that was grades 1 through 4. Downstairs, here, was the big school, grades 5, 6, 7, and 8. We had great times here, skits and plays and recitations, dramatic readings on warm days, enjoying the air condition of the lignum vitae tree. But those were the good old days before we realized we were poor. Walking home at lunchtime, perhaps having cold leftover grits for lunch, that ought to have been a dead giveaway. But yet, we did not realize. But perhaps the folks who walked 6 miles each way every day from the ferry and Harakee, like my friend Nelson, truly discovered very quickly that there was no bus service available. This is what we here were able to accomplish, to try and save the community that I knew and loved, that we saw start to deteriorate. This Forbes Hill Cultural Village is located at the site, as I've mentioned before, of a legendary school. Before we transformed it, it was in ruins, and my heart ached to see it. Often you will know that when a school closes, communities begin to decay. And I feared the beginning of the end for this community, as families often move away to educate their children. That decay started 40 years ago, or thereabouts, when this school closed and saw no end in sight to the revival of this community. I could not in good conscience let that continue to happen. Forbes Hill is small, but it is mighty. This is a powerful community from which many successful people have originated, and therefore today, this is my gift to my upbringing, my gift to this community. I believe that to whom much is given, much is required. I've lived and worked in many countries. I've traveled to dozens of them. I've studied in the USA, Canada, and the UK. I've studied at Acadia University and Nova University, and even Harvard University, but nothing and nowhere has taught me as much as I learned right here in Forbes Hill.
And I just want the general public to understand what he's saying. He's saying for 40 years, it's personal for him. The schools was in despair. And you see the work they are putting in to revitalize Forbes Hill, revitalize Cat Island. Now, these two gentlemen are multimillionaires. They're members of parliament holding two most powerful positions in the country. And Mr. Davis understands this, and Chester Cooper understands this. But can they understand how could they make something like that work in Nassau, which is very difficult if you don't have someone who understands your strategic position, can look at the community from a standpoint and create a cultural village. Cultural village can be built in Mason Addition, can be built in Grandstand, can be built in Bainton, and also certain spots in these areas that I look at as I travel through, and I see they could be turning into a safe zone where we could get a certain amount of tourists to come there with police protection and community protection until 5 p.m. They leave, but from 7 to 5, we could have them moving through, and we could have them stopping by these vendors, spending American money. You understand what I'm saying? And that can create empowerment, you know, and ownership of business. And along the way, people start to catch on. And then we start to see the eyesores, the abandoned homes. We start to see the problem childs in the community and can identify them and get together as a business owners association and be able to assist the needy. You know, there are problem childs out there that we see and we know, and the police can't help us. the church might cannot help us, but if we start to empower ourselves and we have a few business owners and we know what's going on, we can get together and we can solve these problems. You understand? But in order to do that, we have to be empowered, you know, in a way where we can get some people, millionaires and thousandaires in the community, and start to understand how important it is to work together to eradicate the problem. Because I'm going to say this again. The politicians, them, don't have no program in place to fix the problem. It takes community-minded person meeting with politicians and giving them ideas that the politician writes down, and if it makes sense, they take it to Parliament and pass a legislation, and a few years later, you'll see this legislation pass, like the second chance, the marijuana, and all of these stuff. I've been on board with all of these stuff, you know, urban renewal, beginning the urban renewal, the Overland Initiative, the Urban Design Lab. I've been there from the inception. I can show you programs that we have, that I've sat down and gave ideas to the members of Parliament, prime ministers, deputy prime ministers, ministers, and you had them pass in Parliament. When Tommy Turnquist was the Minister of National Security, he mentioned my name in Parliament. Okay? I work with Lady Cheryl Wilson on the 10-point plan that was given to the then Prime Minister Perry Gladstone Christie. And this was before the general election. And she was able to sit down with me as the president of the women's branch of the Progressive Liberal Party. And we took notes together, and I laid some ideas forward. They made sense. She wrote them down. And this was in the front of the whole concert of women's branch at the Progressive Liberal Party. Yeah, Lady Cheryl Wilson. And she took this to cabinet. She told me she took this to cabinet. And this was presented. And when I listened, I heard the same 10-point plans we talked about. And the PLB went with that. And they won. And they implemented some of these plans. Also, I work with Tommy Turnquist. You understand me? So take citizens. You understand? Don't take the police. The police comes after the fact. Or the police intercepts a young man moving in a moving vehicle, finds a firearm. He intercepts that because that young man was going to do, he or she in a group session was going to do something to harm somebody with his firearm. But the police on patrol was able to intercept. That's the police job. Or if a murder takes place, they come afterwards and they do the investigation. And then if they have enough evidence, or sometimes they don't have no evidence at all, if they don't like you, they discharge you. Okay? And that's that. They can't help us the way they're supposed to help us. Now, they are effective in going after the culprits, but being that first line of defense, no. It falls on the hands of the citizens. And we have to make sure that in these communities that it is poverty stricken. You know, there ain't no middle class family no more. So we have to find a way how we can empower and create middle class again. And of concerning citizens again. Like Chester Cooper was talking about 40 years ago. What he didn't like. And now that he became deputy prime minister, he is able to move a little faster because he has power. Now, the rest of those ministers, like in Bantam, like Mr. Watson, they don't have that type of power. So, you know, but the deputy prime minister and the prime minister has the power. They have the space. They have the capacity, all government departments, so they could get the job done in a timely fashion. But the rest of these politicians in these inner-city communities. Now, the female politicians on the PLB side are doing a phenomenal job when it comes to, you know, they're representing. But as to say, community development, for all these ministers, I give all of them an F because lives are being lost. They're doing tremendously good. Listen to me. The government is doing tremendously good. But when I say I'm giving you F, it's because the number one thing that a government's supposed to do is to be able to protect its citizen. Okay? I want to talk about this real quick. We have three hair after cops shot in face. I guess the police were on routine patrol, and this is a regular occurrence, so this is nothing new to us. You know, this is nothing new to us. Now, if we look at how much cops being get shot at this year alone and last year alone, it'll be overwhelming. Y'all can't, wouldn't not believe it. So this is nothing new, okay? And that's why a lot of us are immune to the kind of conduct that's happening in our country, because all of us are suffering from post-traumatic stress. And it's 21/7, 700 islands, 70 keys on the carnage that's been happening in our country for the last 25, 30 years, where we've been having over 147 murders, 100 steady murders for 10 years straight. Before that, we were having 80-something, 60-something, 50-something, crazy, all in the 21/7. And if you look at the, if you look at the numbers, and you look at that kind of carnage in the 21/7, in Freeport, Abaco, Nassau, New Providence, and like I said, with the 100 plus murders that we've been having consistently for the last 10 years, if you add up all of those murders, just in 1 year alone, just the one, 47 when it was the, when it was a bloodbath in Nassau, okay? When just about everyone I saw walking the streets practically had a gun or wanted a gun, and everyone wanted to kill. That's how it was in the air. All right, you couldn't talk to nobody who didn't want a gun or didn't want to kill somebody because what was going on, and everyone wanted to protect themselves. The bad boys wanted to get the other guys who they shooting at, so they had to be innocent people were getting shoot, so innocent people wanted to get a gun. The politicians were so scared that they went and get handguns. You remember that? Right? Y'all remember that? And in that 147, which is the highest, there were a lot of people who also got shot, and we list them as attempted murder. And that was high too. That was in the 60s, 70s. So if we look at, besides the 147, a lot of people who got shot around that same particular time, a lot of them died of their gunshots. So that could have gone up to anywhere from 147 to probably 170. But they were never listed as that because a lot of people didn't die that year from their gun-inflicted wounds. They died like a year, 2 years, 3 years later. But it was a result of the shooting incident that happened around that time. Okay? So, yeah. And if you look at everyone who got killed, most people in each family has about 100 or more family members. So if you add all the hundreds up every year, it has affected all of us. You know, and I always said this, when Moses was moving through the promised land, not the promised land, when the angel of death was coming, and the father told him to put the blood of the lamb on the door. You know, if I look at Hay Street, Lewis Street, and Taylor Street, just about everyone in that community has lost a loved one to violent crimes, or someone in their family was able to take someone's life. Just about every family in Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street, in a tree corner street. And some of the most violent and most dangerous set of criminals came out of that community that I reside in. I was a part of it also. But I was taught it, you know, from a generation before me. And I ended up teaching it to so much other young guys, you know. I could go on, and some of them turning out to be, it's not something I'm proud of. But I speak on it because it seems that when I'm speaking to the authorities, they seems to be taking me for some kind of joke, or I ain't speaking the truth, or this is a distraction. This is no distraction. And I'm going to be real honest with the general public today. My reach was deep in the criminal world, okay? I was very aggressive when it comes to violent crime. I was very violent because I grew up violent. I like knife, I like gun, I like to fight. I was never, I was never a murderer or a rapist or someone who like other people for the other stuff. I just was a person violent. The only time you would see me get myself in altercation is either for a friend or something that happened to a next friend. And I was like an enforcer. And everyone looked up to me. So everyone came to me for everything. for every problem. And I had to use my discretion on so many different elements. But some of the guys that I trained on, use a gun. Okay? Let's explain. Julian Woodside, he's now deceased. He got killed in the HB community. He was my cousin. He was a hard boy too, you know. And he got killed by his friends in the community. I brought him up and I teach him how to do badness. My two cousins, Keith and Kevy, you all might know him through HB. I brought them up also because when we started the gang, they were my cousin mostly. All of them were my family. And I was the one who, like, had the balls, you know, nervy. I was very nervy. So everyone wanted to resonate with me. Samuel Mushin McKenzie, you know, we heard about him. We were neighbors, but I was always on the streets. You know, I always used to be the capital of the area, going out for the Longs, and et cetera, and Rasta Bike them, and all the Cecil Johnson them, and all the Courtney them, and all the, what the guy named now? Reds who got hanged, you know. Thomas Recklin, all who got hanged. I used to go for Thomas Recklin and all. You know, all these guys, Lil Longs, the baddest man and Nas on the Providence. So I learned and saw these things from these guys. And learning badness. That's why I was not afraid of nobody, because I was able to be around the baddest set of guys in Nassau. And all of this happened to the Capitol Theater. And everyone knew me because of my mom and dad. You know, my mom was Laurie Brennan, and she used to be Belize. And she used to, you know. So I was saying, I saw these things. I saw people getting stabbed. I saw people getting shot. I saw people getting raped. I saw people getting murdered. I know these things, but I saw with my eyes as a kid living in those community. I saw police brutality, and that's how it was in our community. And then it was with the drugs. Okay? My friend JP, who got killed in Freeport, top hitman, all of them come under my wing. Samuel Mushin McKenzie, his first gun. I teach him how to use a 25 pistol. You understand? The only person I never, in that community, I never teach badness to was James Charles Chucky. And he was one of the leaders alongside me with the Border Boys. Everyone else, I basically teach how to do badness. And that pass on to all type of different people. Names I could go on and on, some of the most serious set of crimes in the country. You understand? It's just that they took it to a different level because time changed, you know. They was gangsters now. Now they hit man. Who ain't hitting man now? Big time drug dealer. And the whole country was just like that. So I know what I'm saying to you. You know, I know where it started from. And I know why it's still spreading. You know. And it's bothering me, you know, and I so tired just going sitting on these meetings and explaining myself to these meetings. You know, man, if we just work on the prison, why can't we get past them, say, you know, they praise God, they believed in Jesus. And we have so many people in prison. We have over 5,000 churches in the country. We have some of the biggest churches in the country. They have resources. You're trying to tell me we can't have some of these big churches, you know, go to the prison and take some of these young men under their wing. You understand? Talk to them, nurture them. You ain't going to be able to save all, but if this so-called God and Jesus and all these Christians we get here, you know, what did this? Let's focus on the prison, you know. Let's all get together and come together. And all these young guys would go into prison. Let's start to see how we could help them. You know, let's see if we could get them to have morals again and for them to see that people care for them again, you know. You understand? When I look at the shooting on. I heard Superintendent Skippins, you know, after the police shooting, you know, she came on national TV and the radio. And I know Ms. Skippins, you know, she's a very, very seasoned veteran police officer. And she have her reasons because, you know, she's a police officer. And she also tell the parents, you know, if you know your loved ones and they're involved in the crime, that they should, you know, give the information. And then, you know, she also stated that, you know, police officers get shot. She don't see uproar from the general public. Well, the Skippins, I don't think the BME people care if a cop get killed or shot or not, because we are accustomed, you know, because if you look at the carnage, we have police officers, defense officers, politicians, archbishop, yeah, come in. Citizens, every year 100. People come immune. So that's like, what, so what? And, you know, and not to be unremorseful, you know, but we are what we are. You know, we are violent society. You know, we are. You know, when Ms. Skippins came on and she said, you know, the police is going to be, you know, on red alert, you know, and that persons who are doing crime, you know, to be aware, and that if you shoot at the police, that'd be it. But Ms. Skippins, not even the police officers are God, and they're not going to be everywhere. Regardless of how much shooting goes on in this country, their cars going to be late. It's very rare that they intercept, you know, guys on the move, because a thief in the night, you know, it's hard to catch. I don't care how much surveillance, how much patrol car you get on the road. It's timing, you know. Saturation patrol officers got to take breaks. You know, why is you taking a break? The guys are on their move, they plan out. You know, they know how to steal cars and change license plates. So, you know, it ain't like that. You know, those threat goes in their ass to other criminals, because it's like this. It's them. So when the police kills a set of guys, okay, the other guys say, you know, them guys is fools. They thinking that can't happen to them until it happens to you. So that's how it is. A guy who is doing violence, he unless it's him or them getting shoot up, they feel it then. You see? Yeah. So, you know, and you know, she made that statement, and then we saw on Facebook where the police, you know, pulled his gun on the highway, and then there was a little boy there, and they gave a great explanation for their reason. They saying that they pulled the car over before, they pulled the car over the little boy. There was an ex suspect in the car and probably exited the car. Wise officers did their stop. And that was because of the cop getting shot prior. So the police was holding in red alert, you know, because guys shoot at the police. But there are so many guys shooting at the police now because people don't fear for their lives no more. And they have lost their humanity. And what I mean by humanity is like the principle where you would have respect, you know, you would have some type of principle. It's like everyone right now is just a body doing what they want, and there's no consequences until you get catch. You know? And let me tell you why I say this too. The two police shooting where we had three young gentlemen shot, I think one in the Fox area a few years ago, and one was Jamal Smith. He was from around the community. What if I tell you all both of those shooting with the police, with the three of those different suspects, all of them was acquainted in Hayes Creek? Mm-hmm. A three of the suspects that were killed by police separately in about 3 years. One really sleep by the graveyard. All three of them came from Hayes Creek. And the next set, Jamal Smith, when they said the police, you know, I didn't have to kill him, and he was on the ground and the hose, and his son came on TV and said, you know, that's what the police did. So it shows you, you know, and I grew up Jamal, you know, and then like when I retire from badness, when I realized my potentials and I saw what I was doing was wrong, and I saw my friends getting killed, and some got killed on my accord, guys shooting at me, and then I'm killing them, man, I supposed to be the one dead, or supposed to be in prison. And they're dead because of me and my ambitions and because they followed me. You know, and that started to take a toll on me. So I started to change my mindset. It was very difficult. Very, very, very difficult. And then these same little guys who you grew up and you teach partners to, because you give them nerve. You know, you put the gun in their hand, you teach them how to work gun. You give them nerve to don't be scared of nobody. So now it's their time. So now you live in the community, you start to do positive stuff. Now they evolve and now they run the streets. So now I have to go from being a guy who was running the streets to being a person now who is trying to be community-minded and change their mindset. And I had to coexist. Could you imagine being a top guy? But lucky for me, and they knew that I was a very serious young man and that I was very committed to what I was doing in the community. We never had a problem. So I'm just saying that it's just an overnight occurrence. And like I said, I started to watch that set of young guys transform, and I started to hear the stories. And all they say, wow, just like how we were young. But now it's just expanded. They doing it for the money. They ain't doing it for fighting for the neighborhood and protecting the neighborhood. They're doing it now because money is getting involved over little petty stuff. So now how I was able to accept this when I still live in the same community without being a part of it but trying to stop it. So I learned to stay with the people's business, and when I have a chance to chat with them one-on-one, if I could save someone's life in the community, I would call them on the side like a man. I say, man, look here, man. You know, he live in the neighborhood. And if you kill him, the police can know. Right? I said, man, give him a break, man. You was the big boss, man. Then that guy don't mean you nothing. You know? And things like this I have to do. And they say, man, big brother, because of you, I can let them slide. And I'd go to that person and I say, now listen, I didn't reason for you. Now it's up to you. And I've been doing that and doing that. But I've just seen so much transition, you know. And many people were just looking at just this recent murder that happened in the vicinity of our community of Roscoe, which is a part of our community. And our community of Grandstand had a lot of double murders, you know, over the years, you know. Persons who commit them are dead themselves. And, you know, a young gentleman now who's being accused, first I'd like to give my condolences to the lady who lost her life and her daughter, and I'm getting to find out that's my distant cousin. My cousin Dexter was telling me a couple of months ago. And we know both her and young gentleman. Her daughter goes to the Grandstand Urban Renewal to Lewis Creek. The lady who got killed. Her daughter goes to the Urban Renewal. The police officer was just Miss Charlo. And the next officer was just showing me the young 13-year-old face and how she was there a few days ago. And the accused, you know, he has to share our problems. No one, like I said, you know, so I had to try my best not to go into the details. And we heard about it around about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and say they find a body. And then it circulated, you know, that, you know, I know the young gentleman, the mom too, we be good. You know, family has had a hard time too, you know. The gentleman, he has a drug problem, just as well as many other persons in the community, but he has a serious drug problem. Trying to cope with a woman who has two or three children. Now, I'm not saying this. He did it. They have to be proven that. But just what's going on there. You know, you being in and out of jail. You know, and what could drive somebody to do something heinous like that? And I heard that she's being dead from around Tuesday or something like that on her daughter. And they suspected it was him. And he was walking around the streets. You know, I saw him the other day. Like I say, I don't know if he did it or what, but he was walking around the streets the other day for 2 days, you know. And I heard they picked him up to Lewis Street today. You know, saw him earlier, yesterday morning. Now he's in police custody. You know, a lot of people calling for hanging, et cetera. You know, but the problem is if you really look in detail, you know, on anger management, and understand that these communities are unfit for our children to be growing up in. Because if you watch what Chester Cooper and Brave Davis is doing, they're adding tools and the opportunities for Cat Island and Chester Cooper's community. You know, but for these inner city community where we have just a bunch of poor people live there who was going through trauma, lost their loved ones. Everyone mix up, you know. Females now, a cross section, you have a lot of females now. They're going both ways. Your males going both ways. So this is a whole mix up thing, you know, and a lot of emotion is getting these relationships. You know, a lot of people finding out they catch disease and rowing in the road. This one get this one AIDS, this one get this collapse. How do you think these things can, you know? Without someone meditating in the community and trying to be that person, you know, whether it's the church, the community, or the community leaders, knowing what the problem is in the community. And that's one reason I said that these MPs, they are doing an awesome job as far as running the country. You know, but when it comes to development and say they're gonna be able to reduce crime and reduce poverty, I have not heard nothing that has been resonating and that's made that impact. You know, they don't know where to start. They just don't know where to start. No government knows where to start. You know, it's too much poverty, you know. And no one can really help no one no more in these communities. Because the young gentleman's walking around the community asking people for a dollar or two, looking for work. And I'm not using none for no excuse. Because a 13-year-old lost his life, and I can't say he's guilty. But that has happened in our community. You know, when they were there for days. Maybe if you had proper, you know, information. Like I always say this to BME people, I have a lot of ideas. And just listen to this one. I just is the one, though. Because I'm so tired. You know, when you been there and you see your work and, you know, and you're talking to people for years and years, and they're passing the legislation. But I mean, it's not a mandate that our leaders understand the urgency to invest in these inner city communities and in citizens at large in our schools, you know? It's frustrating, man. And the murders ain't gonna stop. You know, once people get mad, it's all over, you know. Prime example, you know, I was watching Facebook. And this fine, beautiful Bahamian lady, I think there was a little car accident around the mall or somewhere, and this gentleman came out. It was on Facebook, been on Facebook 2 years, and she's so beautiful. But you saw that when the gentleman say, "Hey, you knocked my car." So she going in the place, you know. You want F in me? And she ran on her bike, and this is a gentleman, and he just said, "You know, baby, you know, you knocked my car." And she spread a mace. And when he say, "What? I can't believe this." And he said that B word. and he make a move towards her, she spray him again. If you look at people who drive in a car and they get an accident, the person in the wrong, eh? Ready to mess you up. You could be innocent and the police pull you over. In some cases, it depends on the officer's attitude. And you could be in the right and you just ask the officer, "Officer, what you pulling me over for?" And this go from him de-escalating the situation and just explain to you that I think you made a wrong turn on the light. You know? You say, "Hey, you keep him more quiet. I ask a question." And then when the citizen, who ain't break no law or whatever, it's a law-abiding citizen, it's not a criminal, start to, but officer, and start to fight for their rights, they get charged and locked up. But what kind of disorderly behaviors, disorderly behavior charge? We have to admit, we are a violent society. And the morals of our country is diminishing day by day. Day by day. Instead of our leaders, I don't know, with the former prime minister, our menace, he going back and forth with the prime minister. Because they're questioning him about the food program, about Lakeisha Rolle. We saw on Facebook where Lakeisha Rolle is before the court, her father, Ahmadan. I know him, got some fun. It's a good friend of mine. He's a Czech minister. You know, I don't know what true it is, but it's on social media. But investigation going on where they question him, you know, and it's not a talk on him. And he said the prime minister, let's don't go there. Right? They have time to be going back and forth. It just shows you that their heart is not into the Bahamian people. It's about power. About when I get there again, or if I get there again, what I'm going to do to those who oppose me. And then if you get there again, what he's going to do to us, because people take vengeance on us as citizens, you know? It's a political scene between the PLP and the FNM has divided us, the church, from sharing true love to make impact. Like I said before, to all y'all pastors out there, y'all talk about God and Jesus. We have 1,400 inmates at the Fox Hill Prison. They say it is estimated that 90% will come back on the streets. Right? They're also saying that most of the inmates at the prison are at-risk youths coming out of single-parent home or no-parent home, right? Statistics show that repeat offenders are one likely to recommit crimes. So if that's the case, we're preaching with this God and this Jesus and the president, the Crystal Council, and this big church and all those stuff, right? Go minister to the prison. Make it your mandatory that these 5,000 churches get some government assistance, go to the prison. Meantime, us in the community, and like I said, I'm going to tell you what my strategy was. I look at, for many years, I say, you know what? We had Timothy Cole come out of the community. We had Samuel Mushi McKenzie come out of the prison. We had so many of the young men who live in this Grand Slam community, from Lewis Street, Taylor Street, Woods Alley, right? So I said to myself, why not let's put up a dollar? You know, working with the local pastors and as the community leader, that any young persons who go to the boys' industrial or who charge before the court or get locked up in the community, that we have a statistics data that we write down and say, hey, this one is being charged with marijuana possession. This is who his parents are. This one is being charged with attempted murder. This one here is being charged with murder, but he lives in this community. And we get together as a team and we work on those problem child in our community, in our constituency. And then we show them that we care. We check on them in prison. So that means we'd be asking the prison superintendent that everyone who come with a grandstand, Lewis Street and Hay Street and Taylor Street, we'd like all of them to be registered when they're going to be released, what they're charged for, send it to this particular center that we've set up in that community with a data, like a Marco Archer alert, and we'll be able to assist these guys once they come into prison. We'll be able to assist them in prison, and we'll be able to assist them when they come into prison, and we'll be able to assist them with what their problem are. Understand? And that's what we're going to have to do it. But no, they don't want to listen. We have to keep records. And this is where the church could play a vital role in. Because if we strategically map out the area, there are about 6 or 7 churches in that area. There are about 4 or 5 community leaders, right? We have the sitting MP. Richie's not going to be in charge of this. This is going to be the citizen and the church working together as a team. And they're going to be the first line of defense. And they're going to find out all the guys who try to see those crimes who live in that particular community. And by having a conversation with those guys, you would be able to find out who they're beefing with, what the problem is in their relationship, and how to solve it. Because a lot of people need leadership right now. You know? Because I saw the young gentleman, you know. And I'm hearing some noise. No, very startling. So it ain't what it is. You know, murder is murder. I understand I'm not taking up for no one who murder. But as you listen to the story, it ain't just the killing, which is very wrong. Okay? But there are things that adds up leading to the murder. That wasn't, and I'm not saying he did it. Okay? So that's what it is, people. You know? And it's just sad to see a 13-year-old lose a life like that, you know? Just sad. You know, and everything I do is what I have this show for, what Guardian told me to do, because I wanted to tell the stories, you know. Y'all know how much people I watch got killed and I had nothing to do with it. Let me just tell you one. And that's why I say, it's just the same recurrence. I was on OK Barters about 25, 26 years ago. There was this guy, he was a rebellion raider, his name was Monix. And he was a real troublesome guy. He was just like Chucky on our side, who was the leader, one of the leaders of the Border Boys. And these guys were just terrorists, you know, they were bad guys, you know, they mean business. Yeah, they named Chucky, and Monix was mean business. And on Friday, we was by the OK Bar, and we were shooting pool, and the wall was cold between us and the raiders. So Monix come down, walk in. And he was a bully. And he came in the bar, and because the war was cold, we couldn't border with him and he couldn't border with us. But he was a bully. He was a robber. If he pull up on you, jerk you to pieces. All right, listen to me, people. This real talk. See, when you want real talk, I can tell you real talk. All right? If he put his hand on you, anyone know Monix on East Street? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Who were back in the day know that when you see him come in, he's like a Debo. When you watching Debo on Friday, when Chucky was like Debo, Monix was like Debo. You had a lot of guys like Mushi, they were Debos. I wasn't a Debo. I was a bad guy, but I wasn't a Debo. But these guys were Debo, right? They mean business, all right? They jerk you, they chop you, and they would have no remorse. He came down by the bar, and he saw this guy in the American, and American was on the side of me, and he came, and he saw American, and he said, man, buy me something to drink. So I was sitting on the side of American, and I look at American, American looking at me, American going to park and going to park and listen, general public, give the guy $50, you know. So we saw all the money in American on because American was working in construction over Lannis. So American must see that $1,500, $2,000. So you see that? Y'all out. But look, y'all. But yeah, I want that $50. You know, I take what I want. And he gone and, you know, I looking at American, you know, because the war dead, so I can't get myself with American. I know him, you know, because I used to talk gangster too, but he buying me something to drink. So, calling the guy, walk it, take the guy money, and take what he want, take must be $600-$700 from the guy, you know. And then all of them, you know what, you're going to do your nothing. So I jump home and say, my boy, you lucky to war there with us because that, you know. And I say, American, you should know these guys playing around you. So they ain't got to be so woken and so bad. So that was Friday. So when he left with the club, he buy his drink. Go on. American tears is coming out of the eye. Because I can't help him, you know. I won't help him. Me and Bum was dead now. Nelson dead too. They was with me. All them get killed. And Americans had to cry. So I tell him, I said, boy, listen to me, bro. That guy there, he can keep on doing that to you. I see, better get yourself together and protect yourself. Friday gone. Next week, Friday, sitting on the club again. American come walk inside the club. And he come walk inside the club. Club park. Mason guys in the club, border guys in the club. He came to the club, he bought me a bottle of 45, Coke 45, because it just to come out around that time. That's when the nitrogen came out, and it really had a serious effect on us, you know. And that's when they said embalming the fluids and nitrogen, so that's what we was drinking. So he was a real Indian. So he came back in the club this next week, Friday. So I was sitting on to the table, and sitting on the table, American come, and he showed me under the corner, so 357 the snuck nose. And he was a little afraid to put it in my hand, you know. So he said, my big bro, I know you know me, you ain't a day big gun. Because back in the day, when you was a serious young nigga or a gang leader, everyone look up to you and they would bring their gun to you. They'd bring their girlfriend to you. They'd bring their family to you just for you to meet them and et cetera. And before you could pull the trigger on that gun, you had to go back to the leaders either, to the leaders of the raiders, the leaders of the gun dog, these are the murderers. You know, you had to go to the leaders in order to pull that trigger in some cases. So, man is coming to the club to see him next Friday. Right there sitting on. He saw American again. So I see American, you know, I grind in the back, yeah, because I can see what's going to happen. So man is walking the club again, okay, bar. He saw American, saw the club full. He going straight to American. I ain't say a word. And he tried to do the same thing what he did that Friday. And American, y'all could he gun say, I gave you $50, bro. And Monix say, but listen to me, bro. Take what they want and no one gonna stop him and all that. So he said, you get a gun on you, eh? You talking to Scoochie, eh? Scoochie can I help you? Scoochie, my actual name is Scoochie. Okay? So Scoochie can I help you? So I ain't say nothing. Try go and take the guy money on the pocket. So American yanked the 357 out of his base, stand up in front of him, and he saw the gun. You think this guy eased up because he had his gun? He yakked his knife, and he said, you get your gun? You think your gun is saving? He charged at American. And I say, one shot going off, general public. One shot going off. And when he gets shoot, he too late going up in there. I say, way up in the road. I say, that's the first time I ever seen anything like that. His two legs going straight up in there and touch the roof in the bar. One shot. And then he land on the pool table. And then he ball up, you know, like that on the pool table. And everyone fly out the nightclub. You know? So I witnessed a lot of stuff. And the murders ain't gonna stop because we are a wild nation. A lot of people have a lot of mental illness. Brave Davis and Chester Cooper's investing in their community because they can do that. They have the resources and power. For us who live in the inner city community, unless we find a way to coexist, find creative plans, understand that government understands that us as citizens are casualty of war, and understand that the only person who can stop or slow this down is us as citizens. And I understand that. That's why I'm taking measures and doing my own and trying to bring somebody or bring an empowerment. Because like I say, I know just about all the guys who doing foolishness. If I was to go in prison right now on a visit, everyone would call my name. Because in that scratch up, being a former gang leader and being a drug dealer and then a community leader doing community activity with the basketball program, combined together, I've been doing over 20-some years of community service. And after I came on my gangsterism, so I met thousands of young men, their parents and et cetera. And then when I was in gang, I meet thousands of young men also. So their children know me, and a lot of them would send their children to have a discussion and let them know what it is to avoid certain conflict, you know? And I always tell the general public that when I say I got shot at least 24 to 25 times from 25 different gang leaders in this country, that is real. Because some of these guys are still living today. You have Marvin Bodie still living. You have A.K. Kelsey, A. Lundy. He's still living. And they call him Scrooge. Okay? Like I said, my original name is Scroogey. A European guy gave me the name Scrooge because when he heard about my past, he said, Scrooge had a Christmas carol, Ebenezer Scrooge, that Kelsey Lundy. We have Franz Pascal. He still is living. He fired about 14 shots at me, and he shoot my friend Chicken in his bar. I also shoot my friend Al. I have had Marvin Bodie, who's still living. And he was one of the top gangsters in Nassau on the whole. There ain't much who talking than Marvin Bodie in the country when it comes to gangsterism. You know? He shot at me about 2-3 different times. He emptied a whole 4 or 5 at me and changed clip. Him and Arlington Butler, who's now deceased. You know, so I've been close to death so many times. I don't know how I'm living. And I guess I'm living to be here to talk to each and every one of you, you know. So when you have what masterminds and all that, I was one of the masterminds in this country. But I was quiet about it, okay? That's why I'm still living today, all right? We got to work on the prison. We got to find a way how we can create millionaires and thousandaires and create employment and small business in these inner city communities. And then we could watch out for the at-risk, you know? Because the same gentleman, you know, he'd be walking around the street asking for help. Like I said, there's no work in these inner city communities. You know, we have 5,000 kids coming to school every year, and they pile on with the next 5,000 every year, and there's no work for them. And they're cooped up in these communities where murders and rape and abuse is happening on a daily basis. They fall in the trap to start selling drugs. The police come, arrest them if they find the drugs, put them before the courts. And they come repeated offenders. And when they come repeated offenders, they come hardened criminals. Then they stay in their community and they are opportunists on any way to make money because they have a girlfriend and they got to find ways of making money. They can't find a job. They ain't thinking straight. They always thinking negative. And they will make bad choices. And then we end up like with these double murders. We end up like Archbishop William Thompson getting killed from one of his, students. You know? It's crazy. You know? It's crazy. It's just crazy, man, you know? And we all be humans, you know? The police are humans. The guy whoever commit the crime, who killed the lady and her daughter, are humans. The immigration officers who slapped the Haitian national, and they are also human, you know? It's crazy. It's just crazy. The producer saying we got to take a break on Guiding Radio 969. I'm your host, Valentino Braun. I'm your host on Guiding Radio 96.9. I'm doing some real talks tonight, you know. And I'd give those after the break some advice on what they can do to protect themselves after the break.
Blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. But I do in the best I can. Trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I
people, what you thinking?
We want something different.
People, what you wanting?
We want local government.
I can tell them no more slunking. I can tell them no more joking. Gone down Blue Hill Road, gone down Village Road, gone down Nassau Road. We want local government. We want local government. We want local government.
Share the love.
We want local government.
We are called for local government.
Sign the petition and find out more information at risebahamas.net.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
We're back on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. When Guardian Radio gave me this podcast and the show, it was to expose these kinds of stories that exist in our country. Many of you would never know I'd be into all of this stuff, but I'm also deep in politics and made many solutions for this country's problem, even though I was involved in illegal activities, because I always wanted to do better. But it's because, like I said, I was not surrounded with the right set of tools and community centers and people talking to me in the right way and pushing me in the right direction. You know, I was seeing a lot of negativity in the community, and that became part of my program. And that's the program of many people. They want to get out. The young gentleman who's now in police custody, you know, they say that he's on a crack cocaine, which I could, you know, like I said, I don't want to, because he has family members also. And not to say offend nobody, let's just take its course, but he had problems, and what if we had the right set of mechanism in that community, knowing he had this problem, be able to assist financially, you know, because with all these different organizations, especially with us having about 6 or 7 churches that all come together in this particular community to deal with at-risk, to deal with the guys who went to prison and come out of prison, or those who just got locked up in the community and are called before the court. You know, we could have some of these pastors that met some of these young men or females going to court for a particular matter, get charged with a serious crime or a crime in the community. Maybe we get to the early stage where we have the pastor intercede and go along with that person to show that they care and help them get their bail signs. And as they start to see that, that they have the guidance and support of the church and other people in the community, that when they come from court, you know, the church will start to say, you know what, we try assistance, see if you can find some work, some thing, or put you in a nice trade in school and help you with employment, because there are many people who are businesses and houses in the church, and they probably wouldn't mind now that they have a program like this to give a lending hand. But at the same time, the individual has to be committed and open to change and the opportunity to change their mindset and their surroundings, so that when they get in the midst of the church and the church people, they have respect, that they won't steal, that they won't go back on their word, and that they see people are going all out for them, coming to court for them, you know, helping them out, you know, with their children, you know, helping them pay their rent, you know, helping them find work, you know. And this is what we need. We need to show love in these communities. We're allowing too much people to go in these inner city community and they can't find no one who loves them or care for them. You know, the mother and daddy, they don't want nothing. So when the child wants something from a father or mother, they can't get it. So the child becomes dependent on themselves. And this all leads to all of these people. I've seen it over and over. I say I'm not taking them no excuse for none, but it is what it is. Okay? It is what it is. Okay? Repeated offenders come from the inner city community. Okay? So we have to come with structural plans and find those at risk. And then we could get reports, because it comes down to little Bella again. You know, the grandmother who lived across the road, who was a neighbor, she stated that she saw Bella disturbed and Bella came across the road to her. But she saw occasionally where the stepdad and Bella mom stay fighting. So she didn't want to go and call the police or the gentleman, or just avoid her having a conflict with a gentleman, because he seems to be a very violent young man. And the more she talked to the mother scared herself, but she don't want to go to the police. Look what it led to. But maybe if we had the churches together, right? We had the community leader together. And that grandmother who saw Bella, she'd be able to relay that information to probably the urban renewal police or the pastor and let them know there's a problem over there. And problem goes to the committee who would have the hands-on information, and they could go and do the research. And then mother say, "But you don't believe me? Come sit down here this evening, okay?" So the police officer, the person from social service, and even the pastor, if he have the balls, if he say he ain't scared of nothing, because these pastors now talking about they love God and Jesus, but they so scary, huh? I know kind of God and Jesus, y'all praying. Some of y'all ain't got no balls at all. Excuse my language. Y'all shouldn't be talking with y'all praising Jesus and God, because Jesus being in the highway and byways. A lot of y'all is cowards. Honestly speaking, and using the word of God as a way to say you're doing good. But a lot of y'all using God for your own benefit. You understand? And y'all get God in y'all image. You know? That's why a lot of people talking about same-sex marriage with pastor who reading the book, and it states that a union is between a man and a woman. So who, what gives a state or a country the rights to have same-sex marriage? Or like our representative from the teachers association, Ms. Belinda Wilson, getting some advice probably from the UN or the educational field. You know, she's the president, so these things has come to her from the international community, the educators, and they want to talk about transgender. We want to teach our kids strong gender. Why the hell are we ain't teaching our kids about march, anger management, money management? We even go from these things would be implemented yet to go to deal with a transgender. Listen, that's why all these things happen in us, you know. We mix right up like country. We have a small country, but we mix right up. If you want to go and change your womb from a man, and you're saying you'll be able to have no baby, that's on you. If you're a woman and you want to change your vagina or whatever it is, that on you. We don't need to put none of that in school. That is you, your personal decision. Okay, that is your personal decision. You can't throw it on me and you expect that you need to talk about your health care. You ain't getting, they don't get health care. It's the reason why y'all don't get health care. I used to do my research and I hate nobody, but that is you. That's the lifestyle you want to live and you want to change it. You do that. That is on you. You can't expect to document it and throw it on us who live in a normal life. What I mean, I live a normal life. I live in my 10 commandments the best way I can. Right? I ain't doing no folly. I think I'm living a regular life. Far as I'm concerned. Anything else, like you want to alter your body, that is you. You want a transformation, that is on you. Okay, if you want to follow the people that did it before, but also remember there's many of them who go through these surgeries regretting it now because they have side effects. And their mental health is affecting them because they want to turn back to the person they was, but you can't do it no more because you can't take back what you done give to the world. And then it's expensive. Can run you into millions getting your pills and et cetera like that. So all these things are affecting us. And I'm not against no one who's transgender. I'm not against nobody who wants to get married to an ex. That is your business. But no church should be allowed to marry a person, two males or two females. Okay? And that's my take on it. And we have time to be talking about, we should be teaching transgender in school. You all people sick, you know. You're going to teach the kids who now are violent about sex and about what? So how are you going to be able to bend the tree from doing anything wicked when you're teaching them what is wrong? It's right, though. You know, like I said, these are people on personal decision. I'm not against nobody. If you have lived the way, that's your business. Huh? Time nothing to do with me. But keep it to you. It's crazy. We don't know where to start in this country. We mix right up. All these things are affecting us. We don't know what angle we want to go in. We're supposed to be a Christian nation. You know? Then sometimes we make stupid comments. We shouldn't even be hearing the word about same-sex marriage. We shouldn't be hearing the word about transgender, because it's not a part of our culture. We accept it. If the family member wants to do it, it's all good with you, buddy. Okay? It's all good with you. If you go online and you feel that you're supposed to be a woman, well, you go be a woman. But when the consequences come with your medical health and that you're being discriminated on, you're getting discriminated on because you don't have the same medical health issue as me as a male. Right? Because you change your sex. So you're between a male and a female. So you mix up. So there's different hormone changes. You understand? So you have to take two set of medication. Why is me who is a male or a regular female has to take one set of medication? But you who change your sex have to take medication for the rest of your days. And you're going to feel pain and you're going to feel some discomfort, you know? And then you want to teach it to our kids in school. And I just want to say this, you know. All the stuff you heard me talk about negatively about my early previous life, all of that has to happen to free us because that changed my heart. And when I started to see the wrong that was happening around me in my community, in my country, and I just used my own experience and I look at it and I say, wow, this one come for me, 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 this one come for me. And like, you train these guys. And all of them would say that to you if they were still living. They'd tell you, all of them say they come under Daddy Scoochie or Daddy Scrooge. The majority of serious guys who came on the Hayes Creek would say that. they would say that. And I never meant for them to harm other people the way they meant to harm other people. There was a gang thing there that was protecting the area because there was a gang called the Redding Raiders. They were taking over turf. So we had to protect our little small turf. So we only started to protect our turf. And that's what we started to fight for. But after we started teaching the next generation, they took it to a whole different level. They were getting the drugs and then going from there. Then they had no more respect. Now it reached this stage now where it's totally unacceptable in the country. You know? And I can remember the first person, Simon Mushi McKenzie, he's my good friend too before he passed away, you know. He never disrespected me. He always had respect for me even when I was out of the game and he was running the streets with his old clique. He always told him when I'm in a tournament, don't look up no gunshot. Anything I'm doing around that time, he would make sure that the neighborhood straight for me. I had no problem with him bringing outsiders in the neighborhood around the tournament doing food. So they respected me even when I changed. And they was proud of me because they asked me how to change themselves. I remember the first person he killed. First person he killed and how he got his name, Simon Mushi McKenzie, is because he killed a Haitian man in the front of me, Dog and Lem. Dog is dead now, got killed by one of his friends. Lem is dead now, got killed by one of his friends. Everyone who probably get killed in Haight Street got killed from their friend. You hear what they saying? Everyone who was a hard boy got killed basically from their friend who they grew up with. But over time, they start to elevate and they started hating one another. And that's when they just branch off. Yeah, Mushi got his name, Mushi. He ended up killing a Haitian man. This was true. Maycock Street, Comfort Street. We were sitting down reading the newspaper, me and Arlington Butler and Douglas Johnson. We were sitting down reading the newspaper, and three guys came through. Simon Mushi McKenzie and Lem Fernando, who is now deceased. Gonzo, his dad also. And they passed, and they robbed. This is first murder, I always remember this. And they pass us. Come right now, call like late court. They pass us. And we can see there was up to no good. And they went and robbed the Haitian people who had a gambling house, kicking the door. And there was a scruffle. And then there were three shots fired. When we looked, the Haitian man was on fire. Mushi was standing at the front door with a 357. Looked startled, didn't know what to do. And then he break off running. That was his first murder. Then from there, he went on a rampage. Second person he killed was Stevie Reds, you know, and I can always remember. Then from there, he went crazy after that. Yeah. I'm going to take this call real quick. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yeah, good evening, Scoozy.
Hey.
Well, you bring back memories. Me and you kind of up there. I remember, you know, a lot of my friends were killed too, you know. You mean Dog, who ended up in a wheelchair, right?
Douglas, yes.
That was my brethren, you know.
Yeah.
He used to come heal us to Wright's Lane back in the days. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
We don't need to say no more, but I tell you, we got to do this. But Scoozy, a lot of talent,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of things going wrong, and they're going wasted in the inner city.
Yes, sir.
I decided to listen to you all throughout the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you painted a real picture. And so, you know, I saw the picture of the beautiful lady, but I see people that post all kind of things about people, you know, why they were the 23-year-old. But, you know, we don't know the scenario, but the inner city is in a mess.
And that's why she was the 23-year-old, because it's in a mess.
Yeah, but Scoozy, but they still allow more people to come. You know, I look at East Street. You know, I remember when East Street, Market Street,
North, Bay Street?
All there used to be clean. All the
there used to be
there.
Bay Street.
Okay. Yeah, but I would have liked if the antiquities and monument entity would pump money into communities. And
now you're getting it? Just like our Brave Davis and Chester Cooper investing in their constituency, let antiquities money do the same thing for us.
All these things, bro. All dilapidated buildings close to the
yes.
city, man. Scoozy, but it's an inglorious moment for the country, you know. I mean, I'm looking at it pictographically. Like, I'm just seeing, like, just dilapidated buildings.
That's all
like,
happening.
It is depicting the times. You see what I'm saying? I was talking to a gentleman who's drive the horse, ride the horses, right? He was telling me the new Surrey shelter, the roof already collapsed or whatever. He was telling me. I was saying it's unbelievable, but I was supposed to get some information. But it's supposed to be a new Surrey shelter that they had just built. You see what I'm saying? So I was saying nothing really works in this in the country, but I want you to keep this up at the inner city, Scoogey. But the thing is, it's going to be it's a hard task. I hear you going back. But, you know, me and Benji was friends, me and Tyen.
That's so Moshe,
that,
uncle.
That was when, it was really a sense.
Tyen is my cousin.
The thing still was, like, a bit normal.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, but the gang culture, I call you to say this, right, Scoogey? I have a nephew. These beat them fellas up around you outside, man. He's in and out of jail. Hey, man, that's just got busted with three guns the other day. Still in jail. I mean,
I saw it on Richard Gorner. Yeah.
When I see it's like I don't know what's going on. Every year you're getting busted with guns.
Listen,
they go into jail and
their mindset is
but
about negative.
But you know when they doing shit? When they stop healing you.
Yeah.
I tell him, he was doing time, and he had two jobs.
Yeah.
What was doing, like, just trying to keep himself in trouble. He got in some dumb foolishness with some shoot. Man, I don't know what's going on. But I say this, I call to say this, right? The people are downplaying this gang culture. This is rampant, Scoogey.
That's why I say they ain't look like they ain't listening, you know. Why I keep
Man, this is rampant. This more than they think. I've been primary school students talking these things.
Man, listen.
And, all these things.
And they just
man,
say,
you, man.
Listen closely. They just say they find some bullets with a nine.
Four in grade four.
Now, hold on. Before that, they had an armed student went to the school. This is by Commissioner Klein for Nana, armed with an assault rifle. Went
yeah,
in the school.
I was supposed to tell you to see. That's why I tell you, man. Don't believe it. That brother. Right? I wouldn't say who one of his people is go with my niece, but that's what I'm saying. So this would be a close community. That young fella don't bother no one. That surprised me, but you see these fellas, them, that what they're telling you, they look like they can't harm a fly. So when I heard this, that was him.
Yeah.
But that's the boy brother. It's like, wow, and you know, innocent. And so they, but you know, so you never know what's going on, man. Scoogey. These young fellas can test these guns they get, you know.
Yes, sir.
And so what happened is the era when me and you was growing up, you know, we had respect for the police. But the fellas, them, they're on these Molly and sour
all
and
kind of stuff.
Different things, so,
and they have
and
no
they
morals.
Done, and then they live in this dream world and they watching the movie. So to them, life is a movie. So they can shoot at the police. So the police got to brace themselves because the police already bred them with anger and the ghetto youths from these young. You know, they would mean to lock him. They'll watch you buy a 3-hour bike and still lock him and tell you then the supply.
Yeah.
They would do all kind of things. They would do all kind of things. I see, you know what I mean? I see them, you know. I see they grab a fella one time who was in some problems. He was passing. I just happened to stop to ask him when his sister was burying. He had a gun on him. He in the road, and they search him, and they find a gun on him, and they saying, oh, search him, too. I say, yeah. I say, but say, mean him to get. I say, big man, I in the public. What are you going to tell me, mean him to get? Inspector, or lock me up with someone who I
and me all this behemoth.
That's who they hate you all your life.
And that's the problem right there.
Yeah,
see?
Mr. So-and-so, son. Man, yeah, that's what they doing.
And see,
yeah, and we can't sue them, you know.
Hmm.
And they still ain't got no body counts, even after Marvin Ali gone missing and Chris Cullmer gone in the cell, all kind of different things. Excuse me. Let me keep listening to me. Everything cool, man. See, right. But high society, what happened is they never really want to hear really what's going on the road, you know.
So that's
what
I'm saying.
They believe that the police is this infallible entity where they don't have to give an account. You know, this is what it is. The country in a mess. Bless.
Yes. You know, and like the caller stating, you know, we in a mess unless we find alternative programs to deal with our situation, great millionaires, thousandaires, if we could construct a plan on how we could deal with our inmates in prison, if we get the churches who say they praise God and they praise Jesus and they're not afraid and they read this Bible and the Bible tells you do not be afraid. Jesus went on the highways and byways. You're trying to tell me you're afraid to face a guy who's on the streets? Huh? You're no coward. Jesus was no coward. John the Baptist was no coward. Meshach and Abednego, them face death. If y'all talking, y'all reading this Bible. John the Baptist and all the prophets, they died for a cause to speak the truth, to change people's mindset and show them who has the real power in God. And Jesus has the real power. Yahshua. So your church need to step up. You know, for 40, 50 years, this prison being there. And we had repeated criminals come out over and over and over. If you believe in the word of God, go up there. In the highways and byways and make a difference. And then we do our part in these communities. You know? Are we completely out of time? Call me, take this real quick. Are we completely out of time? Take it real quick. Call you, make it quick.
Yes, how are you?
All right, Ms. Thompson.
Yeah, okay. Listen, I'll just make it quick. I only need about 30 seconds. This issue about this gay foolishness that has been perpetrated now is going to cause a lot of serious social problems in the country.
Yes, sir.
When you don't know who is male and who is female, who is man, who is woman, a child is in her grave today because she was dressed up like a male.
Yes, sir.
And she was, you know, a female, but taken for a male and was shot to death right in a car in the Kemp Road area.
Mm.
And I see a whole lot of problems coming about as a result of this.
Mm.
And we have to do all that we possibly can to get that out of this country, because this pride foolishness, I understand the entire month of June, isn't it?
Yeah.
June 1 to the 30th.
Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But let me stop right there, because you say you're short on time.
Yes, sir.
You didn't okay, make... all the best, food.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Thompson. Right, like okay. I said, we don't have to pick up these international things, you know. What we trying to do? What, talking about the pride, what are we trying to do? If we read the Bible, and we say, this the Bible, and the Bible tells you, man and woman, right? Anything that comes in this country that is against that, the Christian Council supposed to speak on it. The church supposed to speak on it, okay? We can't have no wilderness in the country. We don't have enough wilderness now. Let me tell you what this is. I believe that since we become like Caesar, we want orgy. We don't respect no law, no authority. We want things our way. We want this. We want that. We don't have no righteousness, and we are headed that way. Look at what's happening in America. Y'all see what's happening in America? And we're picking up those traits. Those traits are coming here. You want to see they're finding students with gun and bullets now? Now we talking about transgender, pride, you know, equality for women when the bombers, that should be a non-issue, because it was the British, like I said, who didn't want the woman to vote. It wasn't us as a Bahamian government. Woman has some of the highest position in this country. Speaker of the House, Senate, you know, Governor General, Lady Margaret Pinlin, Governor General. What more could a possibly woman want? The more we give them equality, let's take away power from men. You understand? And once the man is taken out, they ain't gonna be no more country. And that's what's happening now. You know? Y'all can't see that? All of these things is to destroy the family structure, destroy the man, and destroy the family structure. Let the man make the wrong decision. Take away his desire for him to be the bread maker. Make him a dependable, where he has to struggle in order to deal with his household. And once he starts to struggle, this diminishes him and make him desperate and cause him to speak out in anger and do things that he's not accustomed to because he is about wider. And then we make the woman into a beast. She becomes like a 16, 17-year-old young boy who fighting on the streets and cursing and carrying on and get the man agitated. And when the man get agitated, he try to avoid you, get agitated. He gets angry, and when he gets angry, he has no control. But the woman, she initiated by being so loud and cursing, and you no good, and you this, and you died, and you this. And then his response, when he feel that he know he's doing the best he can, when he goes stealing or selling them drugs, because he can't find unemployment in the country, because unemployment is so high in the country, and we don't have nothing sustainable for our 5,000 kids coming out every year. So he end up on the streets and have the hustle, selling coconut, selling, picking juju, picking soursop, picking breadfruit, and doing their thing, and trying different stuff. And when I went, he sells some drugs, and you know, and then the hair come from the womb. That's why I said we have to create millionaires, thousandaires, small businesses, and these innocent to develop these communities. Yes, people, the mindset of our youths are going to continue. So we're going to see more Bella. We're going to see more bad decision being made by the young gentleman who now is accused of the double murder. And we're going to keep on seeing more. We're going to see more Marco Archer, you know. We're going to keep on seeing more of these things. What are we going to do? Are we going to just sit down and wait and be the next victim? Or are we going to get together and say that we are the Bahamas and we have to show love and we have to give back and we have to mean it when we give back? So I hope you all enjoy the show tonight. My name is Valentino O'Brien. I'm the host of the talk show Inside the Inner City United. I speak to you from my heart. And I just want each and every one of you to know, over the course of my journey, I am not a liar. Anything comes out of my mouth is the truth. You hear me call Lady Cheryl Wilson name, you hear me call Barry Christie name, you hear me call Tommy Turnquist name, you hear me call Marsh Monroe name, you hear me call some of the biggest gangsters name in the country. And you never heard one of them come on this show for the years I've been on and the things I've been saying. Have you ever called them ever called me a liar? I was never a liar. And I'm talking to you from experience. So, Dar Leaders, Brave, you're investing good in your Cat Island constituency. Chester Cooper, you're investing good. But how are you going to be able to invest in the inner city community to create some millionaires and thousandaires so that we can be able to change the mindset and have a developed community? Because these communities that now that our kids are growing up in, it's now like a killing field. Okay? Last but not least, listen to this. I go on right now. Child abuse case up by near 50%. So what you think is going to happen? We're going to have more and more. When you see these things, when you have child abuse, those children are going to be turned out to be a next statistics. You understand? So I hope you enjoyed the show. Like I said, I'm Valentino Brown, host of the show Inside the City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And I want to thank Guardian Radio for giving me the opportunity to talk about my experience, many others' experience, and hope to make a big difference in the leaders of the country to understand that their priority right now is the sake of our nation's security and the safety of our citizens and providing a better opportunity living in this wonderful island we call the Bahamas. 700 islands, 700 keys. We can make it work. See you next week on Inside the Inner City.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
I represent being human beings.